Welcome to Quick Bites by Mind Over Food. I'm Andy Friedman, and today we're going to talk with Beth Herman Davis from Inspire Transform Health Coaching. Beth spent the first part of her adult life as a teacher, literacy coach, professor of education, and consultant. She was certain that education and literacy were her life's work and purpose. And then, in her late 40s and battling a few health issues, she began to shift her lifestyle with small nutritional and fitness changes. The fitness gains and newfound love of all things nutrition were life-changing. So much so that she embarked on a new path to become a health coach, personal trainer, and nutrition coach. Beth is the founder of Inspire Transform and loves collaborating with women to help them achieve their fitness and nutritional goals through small and sustainable habit changes. And welcome to the Quick Bites podcast by Mind Over Food, Beth. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to have you, and I so want to hear more about how you came to create Inspire Transform and what the mission is of Inspire Transform.
What a great question.
Thank you.
I would say the original mission was for women to reclaim their health and wellness. But over the last couple of years of having this business, I've come to realize that reclaiming isn't necessarily what everyone needs to be doing. It's what I did. So I've changed the vision or mission a little bit, and it's more about, empowering, enabling, and sort of being a cheerleader for women to, if the case is to reclaim their health and wellness, and if not, then to strengthen their physical abilities and their mental abilities even more. And, you know, for some, it will be about reclaiming. And for others, it's just about making slight adjustments and improvements.
Yeah, I mean, it's so great that you bring that up, because I think that there's a lot of pressure to, like you say, reclaim our fitness and health or whatever that means. And that can be really loaded, and that it's really a personal journey rather than, you know, you got to get healthier, you got to be better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think when I went into this, maybe a little ignorant, reclaiming felt like the right word. And now over the last few years, you know, I've grown in my own journey, and, you know, I've really come to realize that it's much broader than that. And it is absolutely not a one size fits all process.
Yes. That seems to be the theme of a lot of my guests on this podcast, which is so wonderful. I mean, if we as women could let go of all these messages and these cultural pressures. Do you work with clients in terms of acceptance and getting rid of all those cultural pressures?
Yeah, it is on my list of under health coaching. It is one of the things there is body acceptance. And that's a hard thing to do, you know, especially as women, for women who are perimenopausal, menopausal, body acceptance, including myself, it's complicated. And I love that I'm in menopause, because I've grown so much over the last, 4 or 5 months in terms of body acceptance, because my body is a changing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I can relate to that. I'm definitely postmenopausal. You would consider that postmenopausal. And I think that a lot of people, including my clients, expect me to be look a certain way or something like that. And there's just really not much you can do about it. You got to, enjoy the ride as long as you're, nourishing your body to the best that you can.
Yes, absolutely. And that is a thing, in this industry, you do think my clients expect me to look this way. So yeah, my body, a year ago now looks different. My midsection has changed quite a bit, and I haven't really changed my nutrition all that much. I've changed it enough to sort of take out some things here and there. And here's the thing, my clients, they don't really care that my body has changed, you know, in their eyes, I'm still a strong, vibrant woman. And that's what I try to model.
That's so wonderful, because it's such a message that isn't getting out there. And it's really hard when you're comparing your pre-menopausal body to, you know, what it is now and how to accept that. And I work with my clients so much on that, because they feel like, oh, if I make these changes in my diet, I should expect certain results. And I mean, I really think that this is the thing that women should be talking about more than anything, is to finally let go of the body image, the expectations. If there was one thing I could do in this world and wave a magic wand on that, I would. So what kinds of things do you do, or you recommend that people do without this big reclaiming, as you put it, to care for themselves, to nourish their bodies, to take care of their health?
I think that people need to start really small. So, you know, here in the US especially, we wanted the changes and we wanted them yesterday. And so lots of people will go in, especially, you know, in the new year, people will go in and I'm going to make all these changes and I'm going to do them all at the same time. And so what I recommend to women is to start very small. You know, you set, you give yourself a mission statement or a vision, start with that vision, and that's sort of your umbrella. And then you set some smaller goals. So you might have a nutrition goal, but it's a small one. So maybe, you know, maybe if you're not eating breakfast, you will start eating breakfast twice a week, and you start out really small, really manageable. And it's not that I don't want women to have expectation. I do. But generally, it's so much simpler to go small and then get bigger with your expectations than the reverse. So, you know, you start out with just a few goals. You learn to make those goals work for you. And then you can add on a third day for breakfast or a fourth day. And so I'm a big fan of starting small with manageable, realistic goals.
Right. I mean, so important. And it's so good that you bring up the new year, because people do set themselves up to kind of crash and burn. And it's not good for our mental health, our physical health, or our mental health. And there's a lot of research to back that up. And then right now, everything's, even small things seem big right now. So what's the one thing we can do, you know, to feel accomplished with it and not have to, in 1 month, be, you know, our goal weight, getting all the things done, cleaning our house. I mean, you name it, right? So you sort of brought up like a nutrition goal there, but what other kinds of goals do you work with your clients, like exercise goals or, you know, other goals?
Exercise goals, sleep goals, water goals, self-care goals, all kinds of goals.
Give us an example of, let's say, a water goal. Cause you know, I just let everybody know that we're both swimmers. So we totally bonded on this water thing. So go ahead and tell us some of the water goals that you talk to clients about.
So water goals are critical because, well, they just help with everything internally, externally, your skin, your organs, all of it. So lots of times clients will want to have a certain amount of water they want to get in during the day and into the night. So I've worked with clients in a variety of ways on water goals, all the way from bottles to mason jars to setting timers on our phones to, you know, I drink flavored water. I use Noon. It's an electrolyte. So, you know, there's all different kinds of drinks out there. As long as you're drinking, you know, throughout the day, it's also great for your brain. The water is great for the brain. So, you know, lots of times women will come to me and say, you know, I want to drink 120 ounces of water a day. And I'll say, how about we keep that as a goal way out there and we'll start a little bit smaller. And you want to start from where they are. So if they're drinking, you know, 32 ounces, well, let's up that to 42 ounces and go from there. And let's try that. Let's try that 3 days this week. So those are the kinds of goals we might do.
Well, that's really excellent. In fact, this is in cognitive therapy. These are some of the ways that we help people change their behavior. It sort of can help any, if you can do that with water, let's say, which doesn't seem like a really hard thing to do. So if you make some really small changes with water, that can bleed out into other areas of your life.
Yes, that's very much what I learned in health coaching. Was what happens is with the act of changing, if you have success changing one thing, it can then spill over into another thing. So if someone has great success with water, then they're more apt to say, oh, okay, I can do this with water. I want to do this with nutrition, you know, and then we'll start to build that. So it's like this trickle over effect.
And I know, like, for example, a lot of my clients don't really enjoy exercise that much, even though they know it's super important for every aspect of your health, right? How can you, or how do you work with clients on helping them getting more movement into their day?
Well, again, we start out small, and I believe that move throughout the day. So let's say that you are not overwhelmed by a ton of time, you can do what are called micro workouts. And so basically you have 10 minutes before your next Zoom meeting, and you might do the stairs in your house for 5 minutes. You might go for a walk around the neighborhood. You might leave a kettlebell or a dumbbell nearby and do some squatting. There's so much you can do. You can even do some movement at your desk with your calves. And if you have an exercise ball, you could sit on an exercise ball at your desk. So I'm a big believer in making movement work for each individual. I do take one rest day per week, but even on that day, I'm still moving about the house and I'll take a light walk. But all the other days I am moving. I bought a desk that actually goes up and down. Yeah, so that's wonderful. So then I have the ability to stand, because we are a country of sitters at this point.
Yes.
So I, even for myself, I really like to be able to stand throughout the day.
Yep.
So I tell people, you know, you fit in the movement where you can, and it should be something that you can do consistently. So if it's something that you're dreading, then that's probably not the right form of movement for you.
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah. And it should be something that you enjoy. If you dread it, that's not going to yield consistency. Yeah. Because people have this idea that if they can't get in a 45-minute workout, then
they might as well. It doesn't count. Yeah.
You know, like, what's the point? And actually doing those micro workouts throughout the day, it's actually much more beneficial for your creativity.
And it goes back to that, like, small goals, like just 3 times a week, try to do it before your Zoom meeting, or, you know, what, that's really great. I really love that idea, especially right now when I've noticed personally, even though I'm more or less keeping up with my exercise routine, that I'm moving so much less than I did before the pandemic. And you gave me some really great ideas here to even incorporate to my, you know, every, you know, just because I'm a health coach and I'm a therapist that, oh, I got it all together. But see, you learn something every day. And I love that. I love that. Thank you. So, you know, when we talked before, you mentioned, or we bonded over this idea of the food roller coaster, that people are on this up and down, and there's so many fad diets out there, and people are so dogmatic about, like, oh, well, this worked for me, so you should do it too. You know, how do you help your clients get through that mentality?
Well, I think I said this to you before, that I absolutely believe that we meet women where they are.
Right.
And so I leave all forms of judgment out because it has no place in coaching. And I work with women where they are. So for instance, I have a nutrition client I'm working with right now, and I absolutely am meeting her where she is. And I've actually given her a couple of ideas and recipes, which she implemented right away.
Oh, and terrific.
That was pretty thrilling, you know?
Yeah.
At first there was some resistance, you know, and I just rolled with it and gave her some ideas and she tried them. And, you know, it is a roller coaster and it doesn't have to be. And there really is no diet out there that is going to, like, and I don't even want to say fix someone's nutrition issues. It's not about fixing, but there really is no diet out there that's going to give someone long-term sustainability with having a more positive relationship with food. You know, I am 54 and my relationship with food is infinitely better than it was when I was 44. But I am human and, you know, I love food. And so like today, you know, I brought home some eggnog. And
why not?
Yeah. And I'm going to enjoy the eggnog, you know, and I'm not going to feel guilt because there really is no place for guilt around food. You know, food is there to sustain us, to nourish us. So with clients, I just try to meet them where they are and ask lots of questions so they can uncover some of their own things around food. And then we build from there.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that. I love that your eating life should be guilt-free. Yes. I want my listeners to hear that again, because I mean, even if you go on social media, it's all talking about like, oh, I'm so naughty, or, oh, you know, I was bad today. And I think that people who work with me know right off the bat that I don't like that vocabulary, that there is no place for guilt in your eating life, your exercise life, whatever it is, your work life, whatever it is, it doesn't help. So no. I love that you brought that up and you reiterated. And it sounds really like that's the theme here, is that wherever you're at, it's okay. There's always ways to do little things. You know, I always say, so people are going to probably roll their eyes when I say this, but don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. That is so important. Okay. So I think you really reiterated that, emphasized that, you know, and I really appreciate that. So Beth, you know, if people want to learn more about Inspire Transform and or would like to reach out to you, how can they do that?
They are more than welcome to check out my website, which is inspiretransform50.com, I believe. they can also email me at inspiretransform50@gmail.com. I'm all over social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. I have a YouTube channel with workouts. So I'm not hard to find out there.
Okay. Well, we'll put some of those links in the description of this podcast so people can just click on through and get to you if they want to.
Awesome.
This has been terrific. I mean, we're right on the same wavelength. So I love to talk to people who kind of think about things the same way I do. So I really appreciate you chatting with us today, and I hope to talk to you soon. So thanks for joining.
Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast with my guest, Beth Herman Davis from Inspire Transform Health Coaching. Please visit my webpage at mindoverfood.com if you'd like to listen to more of these Quick Bite podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about Mind Over Food or are interested in one of my free 15-minute consultations, please visit my website or email me at andy@mindoverfood.com. You can also contact me on Facebook at facebook.com/mindoverfoodtraining. And I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thanks for listening to Quick Bites by Mind Over Food. I'm Andy Friedman. Keep an ear out for more Quick Bites coming soon.